Hey, Little Theodore, welcome to Outsite Radio Hours.
Well, thank you very much. I'm horrified, but at the same time glad to be here.
I
have to throw in the horror because I always hate hearing all these interviewees always saying how happy they are and stuff. So
yeah, you're right. Like, they got nothing better to do.
It's a fantasy of mine to do the exact opposite. But
yes, yeah, fantastic. And you got the voice to relate to horror too, like at the end of the Joseph Conrad book, right?
Yeah, well, I, what can I say? I live that every day.
Up the river.
In some respects, anyway. Some respects, I have it, like, just totally easy, but in some respects, it's an ongoing nightmare. I mean, that's just life.
That is, and that also seems to be, your music seems to derive from within a constant state of nightmarish agitation.
Well, at least those are the moments that inspire it, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's sort of like, you know, a news report. They don't, you know, they don't report on what's going on that's good in the world. They're
right.
Telling you all the stuff that's like, that's topsy-turvy and falling apart and people dying and stuff. So, you know, that's I guess I'm kind of a reporter that way of my own neuroses.
And those neuroses seem to be written on your face on the cover of the very best of Little Theodore's greatest hits. I've tried that in a mirror. I don't know.
Nah, don't try this at home. only the experts can do it.
Exactly. It seems like, do you have like a double-jointed jaw or do you practice that?
It's just been a gift from early childhood, just knowing that I had things to express with my face that as I was a reflection of what was going on around me. And I had a lot of good times in the mirror as a child. Maybe that's why I never developed any good social skills. It was just too much fun there.
Well, people are picking up on it, right? Because they're reflecting it back to you here on the Unscratchable Itch. I mean, that's got to feel fantastic.
Yeah. I was pretty amazed at all these people wanting to do my songs and stuff. So that was very complimentary. I remember at the release show, you know, everyone on stage is going, they're having a good time. And I was like, well, hell, I sure am. I don't know about anybody else. But it was like one band did an entire set of Little Theodore songs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I kind of figured it out by the third one. And then I was kind of like... Well, I don't know what anyone else thinks, but I sure love this. Boy, yeah, it was great. That was the Inactivists who, they're one of the two people who actually did covers that ended up on this before the idea was hatched on the world by Lassie Jensen of Denmark.
Oh, so they were doing it before it was cool.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. They're by definition hipsters, as I understand things.
Yes, me too. I think that's right out of the lexicon of hip.
Yes. it's just how it's commonly defined now. It's those who are there first. Though maybe you also have to like advertise it. I'm not sure.
I don't know. You'd be crossing the line into sellout at that point, I would think.
Yeah, well, that's always a tricky thing. How much attention do you draw to yourself before you're a slime dog?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a tricky thing. I'm always failing on that one way or the other. Too much, too little, you know. Too much, you're a sellout. Too little, you're a wimp, you know.
Right.
I'm walking a neurotic tightrope between the two all the time.
You know,
I never really know where I am because I don't have a manager, so it's sort of like, well... And you know, so you get they say, you know, someone out there might be thinking, oh, just do what's natural. You don't have to be thinking about these things. But, you know, that's I think for most people it is natural. But for me, it's like a self-conscious thing where I'm always like aware of it. I'm sure that's never happened to an easygoing guy like you. You probably have no idea what I'm talking about.
I think I do. It actually reminds me of something I haven't thought about in many years. Many, many years ago, I went to meet a friend of mine at a bar. I showed up first. He wasn't there. It's all hardworking middle-class Mexican Americans. I'm a skinny, pasty-faced white boy. And they start asking me what I'm there for, what I'm doing, what am I about, and I told him one of the things I'm like.
And suddenly you were in the middle of a Lou Reed song. Go on.
Right, pretty much. And I told him what that was into is underground music. And I'm like, what is underground music? And I try to describe it and small labels and independent releases. And one of them says, well, my uncle only plays guitar in the basement for his family and friends. That's underground music. And I was like, whoa, yeah, I guess.
Right. They've got our asses beat. What can I say?
Totally, absolutely.
Well, I think what underground music is in like the Western world and all is sort of like a rediscovering of, I don't know, what you might call a minstrel tradition, or you know, people just go around, you know, singing songs and stuff for their dinners and stuff. But we have this capitalist kind of system that kind of discourages people doing that. You know, there's a minimum wage, there's corporations, there's holes to be plugged into that don't really befit that kind of existence,
right?
And with technology, the spread of technology, well, you know, you hope that cultures like that where people are still playing in their basements for family and friends, you know, you hope it'll keep going. More power to them.
But you never
know with technology. I mean, it's just good and bad. You know, it gives us so many tools, and yet it you know, there's less incentive to really to be doing the same thing, strumming an acoustic guitar and stuff in your basement. You know, now you're reaching out to the whole world. You know, with your laptops and stuff.
You know, Fyodora, the laptops, the technology, I think, at least for me, trying to understand it all, has gotten in the way of something. Well, I think it obscures something that's really happened over the decades or a century or more. You know, think about it. There used to be, you know, huge hits like people do now with electronic games with published sheet music, because people would play it at home on their spinet, right?
Right, that was the big hits in like the 19th century, or I don't know how much before that it was. Who was that? The guy who did Camp Down Hoa Courses and stuff. That was how he made his money. Was on sheet music.
I know my
of my musical history. Yes.
But all that stuff.
Go on.
I'm just saying. All that stuff about business and technology and everything doesn't stop anybody from picking up a cheap guitar or tinkling on a dulcimer in their home, but people don't. Right? I think it's the distraction, and which then relegates art to a commodity.
Well, especially when you're if you're raved on TV and stuff.
Ah, yes.
I'm an old fart, and I think I was one of the first earliest generations to really be weaned with TV being an ever present thing. That's why I was really taken to the Ramones when they sung about how it was TV's fault that I'm stuck in the closet shooting glue and stuff like that.
Right. So
and things, of course, have just expanded by leaps and bounds and exponentially since then.
So tell me about that then. Was there a moment or a discovery like the Ramones or something that sent you off on a world of musical creation?
Well, actually, one of the important moments in my life was when I was real stoned listening to the Ramones Leave Home in a roommate's room, housemate's room in college, and that starts with "Glad to see you, go, goodbye, glad to see you, go, goodbye," and it ends with the first side ends with Pinhead, "Gabba Gabba Hey."
Yeah.
And by then, my mind had totally been blown. It includes Carbona Not Glue on that side. Maybe not one of their bigger hits, but definitely very very seminal Ramones. I've been in the closet and I feel all right. Ran out of Carbona, Mom threw at the glue. Ran out of paint and roast spray, too. It's TV's fault why I am this way. Mom and Pop want to put me away from the early morning movie to the late, late show. After it's over, nowhere to go. Yeah, well, that had a big effect on me.
Well, thank you for that. I love that unscheduled a cappella Ramones cover. That, I mean, they were really, the instrumentation got in the way, you know? It was for a cappella.
Well, there's a place for that. There's a place for that. Jonathan Richman's a big fan. Is a big hero of mine.
Man, Modern Lovers.
I think really kind of bridges the old world and the new world in an interesting way. You know, I mean, a lot of people think he's like the godfather of punk and stuff, and that, you know, he'll do a cappella stuff and, you know, do shows with just him and his guitar, but he makes it rock and roll at the same time.
Absolutely.
So I'm a big fan of his.
Me too. I'm really glad you mentioned both of these. We're going to put some of those Ramones cuts and some Richman on later in the show. But before we get back to the music, I want to say a big sincere thanks for being on here. I really hope we can chat again sometime.
Oh, sure. You know, I'm a publicity slut, so it's no problem for me at all.
Wonderful. Then you
it's fun. What can I say? It takes me out of my normal reality. What could be better than that?
That is wonderful. I appreciate you reattaching your jaw and talking to us today.
Well, sure thing.
Could you do me a big favor, Little Theodore, and remind the audience who you are and what they're listening to?
This is Little Theodore, and that's Theodore with an F. F-Y-O-D-O-R, as in Dostoevsky. This being me, I am Little Theodore, and you all crazy people are listening to Outside Radio Hours on Get Wild Radio. So there, that's what you're doing.
Thank you.
You're welcome.